The following is a 1250 WTMA special presentation.
Hi, this is John Quincy, back with another hour of the History of TMA. Our retro look at the folks and the formats that have graced the airwaves of the station you're listening to right now. We've tracked WTMA's history from its June 1939 sign-on as the city's second radio station through the top 40 radio days of the 60s and 70s, into the 80s when WTMA's relevance as a music-formatted radio station was diminishing, and into the successful talk radio years that began in June of 1989. This hour, we're time-traveling into the recent past, December 30th, 2002. WTMA's regular morning man, Dan Moon, was on vacation. Sitting in the host chair was Charlie Thompson, and he had a very special guest, national talk show host Jim Bohannon.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here we go with hour number two of the call-in portion of the Dan Moon Show.
This is Charlie Thompson standing in for Dan Moon. Boy, we're not wasting any time here. We're leaping right into it. Charlie Thompson here sitting in for Dan Moon. John Quincy, program director, here to make sure I keep my nose and everything straight. Why? Because we have...
Get that whip out.
And the voice you hear there is Jim Bohannon. People keep telling me, Charlie, you sound a lot taller on radio. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Bohannon is a formidable man of substance and stature. Yeah, so we're doing well there. And like, my goodness, what a name for a caller. Rat. Like Rat. You can get in. Yeah, Rat. Yeah. Rat. Oh, that's right. That may be why he did it. We commented
sure,
on
the movie
where, yeah, sure, what are you fighting exactly. for? I'm fighting for my rats. This is News Talk 1250, and you can get in here at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, and Star 1250. And one thing, just a sort of personal stuff, Jim, early in your career, I know when I first started talk radio, some of the things that would throw me would I would have what I thought was a great topic and discussing it, and mm-hmm. the crickets were chirping.
So it happens sometimes. You can pick a topic that you think is just a barn burner, and for some reason, it doesn't set the audience going, or perhaps it's the way that you presented it. I always leave open the possibility that I took a good topic and drove it into the ground. Other times, I've picked something out of the clear blue sky that I'm prepared to go with for a segment because it might be kind of fun, but it won't really go anywhere. The thing's got legs. It'll last for a week. People are calling back. Let's go back to talking about
cooking your turkey
in a microwave or whatever. Yeah, the toilet paper hanging over the front of the back was something that we had calls for 3 or 4 days.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's move right along and give Rat a chance to talk to you. Hello there. You said you wanted to talk to Jim about the cost of the upcoming
war. What? I think I typed in his name wrong.
Oh, you did. All right.
You typed in his name wrong? It's not Rat?
Is it Ray, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Ray.
Ray, I am sorry. It appears that Madeline typed your name in incorrectly. Hello there.
Well, Ray, Rat, what's the difference?
Call me Rat, but hey.
Hey, you'll defend your rats, won't you?
That's right. How you doing, Ray?
Don't call me late for dinner, that's all. Well, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Interesting to hear both of you. Well, I heard Malcolm talking about the cost of war there, and I had some thoughts on that and then a question.
Okay.
Doesn't pretty much all the stuff that the hardware of the war machine and the troops and all, doesn't all that money pretty much stay in America? It's just kind of a redistribution of taxpayer dollars.
Well, I suppose the bulk of our military is made and therefore purchased here. So yeah, you could say that in that sense, that it's not an economic drain to the extent that a lot of military based companies do make money. Yeah, that's not the reason to go to war, of course, but you can call it a side benefit. But
well, if thing, I can jump in here for a minute, Ray.
Malcolm wants to make it sound like we're all chunking $100 bill in the barrel and setting it on fire, and I don't think that's the case. Excuse me, knock something over.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyhow, I mean, the people, everybody from the scientists, the engineers, the factory workers that work on the airplanes, the tanks, the guns, the ammunition, everything, they go down to the grocery store and they spend their paychecks and they make car payments, house payments, and all that, you know?
Well, fortunately, the Abrams tank isn't marked made in China yet.
Yet.
though you're right. You're right. Although economics is not what this is about. This is a security issue.
Exactly. Yeah, and even if you do talk the economics, there's something that a lot of people don't realize. The U.S. Army lost less money due to accidents and sickness and everything else when the guys were in the Gulf, because you ready for this? We lost fewer people total because we lose so many in auto accidents in the U.S. Our balance of payments actually were much better because all those troops that were stationed in Germany and would take the weekend off and buy things in Germany to ship home, you know, say, hey, mm-hmm. I was in Germany. They're now in the Gulf. They can't buy anything from a bunch of guys that are kicking a camel around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to go after Malcolm Ray on the economic issue, bottom line is U.S. troops in foreign countries actually cost us one heck of a lot more in time of peace than they do in time of war, because in time of war, they're busy.
Yeah. Sort of the Gulf War brought a whole new meaning to the term, I'd walk a mile for a camel.
Well, and not only
but
that,
I digress.
Not only that, I think it's a great training exercise for a troop, so I think it builds morale and stuff, you know?
Well, I suppose, yeah, it's probably better from a training point of view if you don't have real casualties, but yes, I think there's a certain morale boost probably that exists there, yeah.
I don't know, Jim. As I understand it, like myself, you had some experience in Vietnam, and the only thing that happened to my morale was once I got home, I felt a whole lot safer and stopped shaking as much.
Well, I had 365 fun-filled days, minus five for R&R in Bangkok. And yeah, in fact, it really was weird, Charlie. The last night I was there, and they had shipped us from the field back in, from the 199th Light Infantry, back into Saigon, and our flight is the next morning at 9, and at 3 a.m., a 122-millimeter rocket slams into the camp where all right. the guys going home, mm-hmm. Killed a staff sergeant, mm-hmm. a guy who spent 364 days and 18 hours in country, had wow. 6 hours to get out, and he died about 100 yards from where I was sleeping. So, yeah, it wasn't until we cleared the Vietnamese airspace on that Freedom right. Bird that I said, I think I'm going home.
Right. I know the when we got there, one of these grizzled old sergeants gets up and he says, y'all realize that only about 3% of you are going to get wounded or killed. Of course, if you're killed, you're 100% dead.
A math major.
Oh, man.
Okay.
you talk about a wake-up call, and then they handed you the weapons and said, you want to do any practice firing?
Yeah, it'll get your attention. Well, I never will forget the night of the Tet Offensive, which mm-hmm. I was there for.
Luckily, I wasn't.
And well, you didn't miss a thing, trust me. But there, we actually, and at the time, we weren't sure what this was. We saw this jet, four engines coming in, and we figured, well, it's got to be ours.
Yeah.
But it was coming into the Benoit Air Base. Now, these, mind you, are new guys.
Yeah.
Right? These are as green as you get, and they are coming in on a night landing, and suddenly the runway starts blowing up in front of them.
Oh,
I mean, their introduction was the start of the Tet Offensive.
Welcome to the war.
And so the pilot slammed on the engines all full throttle, mm-hmm. Aborted the landing, and this thing looked like a four-engine rocket ship.
I wish you could see Jim's sky. Hand right now as he's yeah. showing.
It's going up like about at a 45-degree angle into the sky, and they landed at Tan Sanut in Saigon, which is about 30 miles away. I am told that they burned out the turbine blades on all four engines.
Oh, I believe.
So, but they did pull up out of it because there was no runway left. There were these big holes where they were going to land.
Right. My father was a World War II bomber pilot, and I went to the war college, and one of the things they were doing was if these stupid Air Force guys had simply followed procedures and maintained their engines like we say and all the fuel settings, the engines would have lasted so much longer. So I go down to my father and say, you were there. What's the deal? He says, well, yeah, we could have set them where they said, and we'd have been slow flying sitting ducks lower, about 3,000 feet lower, and they got a choice. We can kill the engine on each mission, or we can get 10 men and an entire airplane blown up.
I'm opting for the engine.
Yeah, yeah, right, and the deal is that's one of the things that here in the, if we do get into it again in the Gulf, I think it's going to be sort of interesting. The Iraqis, you know, they always say the losers learn important lessons that the winners don't,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's a downside for the Iraqis, because basically what they've learned is if you're in a tank, you're dead. And if you don't surrender, you're dead. And that's not the good thing for your men to know.
It isn't, no. The general thing I've heard about a likely scenario is that Saddam, to the extent he's learned, may concede the countryside. We may take 85% of Iraq in the first week. Mm-hmm. He may try to pull his forces such as they are, and they're a shadow of what they were in the right. Gulf War, pull them back to the urban centers, Baghdad, and a couple of other cities like that, Basra, what have you. And at that point, they may just simply try to bleed a lot of Americans with urban warfare, and in the hopes that enough body bags going home will cut support for the war. So yeah. That may be his strategy.
Could be. And, of course, the U.S. generals realize that going into the cities is the wrong solution, hopefully. And I'll tell you what, if you want to pile in on this. We have Jim Bohannon here just for, oh gracious, only 45 more minutes.
My goodness, the time has flown.
Right. And it's 5:56. I have to go real slow here because we have some people out in Goose Creek. Dan Moon, your normal host. Oh, it's a standing joke.
They've got telephones out there?
Yeah, Goose Creek has more fun.
Well, I see smoke signals out the window. Someone's trying to reach us by smoke signals here.
Right, now let's see if I can do this proper Southern. 5:56, 12:50. That's how you get into us.
Good
morning there. And, you know, people give me a hard time. My father was in the military, and so I bounced around, and sometimes y'all don't talk too Southern. Well, hang on, I can do Hollands if I have to.
Hey, I grew up in the Ozarks. You know, I remember my first pair of shoes.
I hear you.
I mean, I went to family reunions to pick up women, okay?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to enjoy the humor and the most interesting look at life that we get from Mr. Bohannon, it's also not only 5:56, 12:50, but it's 1-800-737-1250. And you can get in here. And, of course, *1250 if you're one of them rich, hateful, homophobic Republicans who has a cell phone.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, you should hear
you're stirring the pot, Charlie.
Oh, man. I'm in there with the big ladle.
Yeah. You
have to understand, down here in the South,
mm-hmm.
we almost, I think, take great delight in stirring the pot and smiling at our own faux pas. I mean, what state do you know that can make jokes about the fact that we're 49th in the nation on the SAT scores and everything else?
I hate to quote this man, but to quote Abraham Lincoln, who was, you know, the story he told about the guy who was tarred and feathered.
Yes, if it weren't for the honor.
Honor, I'd just as soon have walked.
Well, we have Fred, who's been patiently waiting out there while we've been enjoying your visiting. So, Fred, you said you wanted to talk to Jim about military.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Jim. How you doing?
Good morning, Fred.
I just want to know what year you was over there. I was a medic at in Taiwan, and you said we had a lot of people from Vietnam, veterans from Vietnam, came over to Taiwan for R&R,
mm-hmm.
and that was during 69, 70.
So. Well, I was in Vietnam with the 199th Light Infantry Brigade in 3 Corps, first at the little river village of Cat Lai, and later at Long Bin. And that was from April of 67 till April of 68, and roughly it was 6 months in each location. And I took my R&R actually in April of, right toward the end of my tour, in April of 68, I went to Bangkok. Taiwan, I'm told, was a delightful place,
but
for some reason I wanted to see Bangkok, and I did.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you had came to Taiwan, so we didn't get the chance to probably meet over.
No, I've never been to Taiwan, but it's a place I hope to visit sometime.
Yeah, very beautiful. Okay. Well, anyway, welcome to Charleston, and
I
listen to you also on
TMA. Well, you're mighty kind.
And if you get a chance, give Natalie a little autograph for me here, something for a souvenir.
Well, hey.
You're moving up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I do send out autograph pictures to my listeners. Yeah, you call in some night, and our producer will take it down. It's 1-866-50-JIMBO.
Okay.
We'll be back there live on
Thursday.
Thursday night, the second. Exactly, yeah. By the way, the Wednesday night guests will include Ann Coulter, whose book Slander, Liberal Lies About American Rights.
Oh, I've read it. It's good.
Yeah. Con Coughlin, the book Saddam, King of Terror, and Chris Matthews will join us on New Year's night.
So, well, I appreciate, and you're doing a good job, and I really, you know, stay up and listen to you.
Well, you're mighty kind, and I appreciate that. You keep that radio spot welded to News Talk 1250. Yeah?
Always. I
love guests that plug us. we have our program director, John Quincy, here. John, what were you going to get in on?
I just would like to remind the folks that Jim Bohannon is on every weeknight between 10 and 1 on WTMA, and it's been part of our radio station for a long time, except for a break of a couple of years when I think the previous program director lost.
Yeah, the operative word is previous program director.
But last May, we were very happy to bring Jim Bohannon back on to WTMA. Of course, for years, he filled in for Larry King. WTMA carried the nighttime Larry King show. And Jim, I was just wondering, you know, you've been around talk radio for a while. What do you think about the current state of talk radio? You hear a lot from Tom Daschle about his views and stuff, but as far as the host and growth and the various talk radio personalities on a syndicated national level, what's your take on all that?
Well, there have never been more syndicated hosts. If you added up everybody who is on two or more stations, and there's at least one host who is syndicated on one other station, but that's syndicated.
Hey,
But I suppose there must be a couple of hundred of us now. Mm-hmm. It's never been healthier. It's reached the point probably of saturation. There may be some shaking out as a few shows go head-to-head with one another. It, I think, remains the most popular format in radio, if I'm not mistaken, talk radio. It's doing wonders, I think. It is the national backyard fence where people used to gather and talk, and now they do it by means of the telephone and their radio and stations such as News Talk 1250. So it's a valuable service. I am sorry if Senator Daschle felt that he received some bad mouthing from people. Maybe even he did receive death threats. However, I have yet to hear a show that I felt instigated that kind of behavior. It is not your problem if you are conducting a program and somebody in the audience is such a bozo
right.
that they go off on a tangent that you never intended. And I have never heard a talk show host say, it's time somebody got that Senator Daschle. I've never heard such words.
Well, the entire emphasis of talk radio is usually along the lines of vote the bums out.
Exactly. And so, with
of course, for Daschle, that could be a death threat.
Yes, to a great extent, that's true.
The end of his career.
You know, basically, I think probably if Daschle had it to do over again, I think he would take back those words. Gotcha. That's my thinking.
Well, I have something on the other side, but right now we have to get to a traffic report. Okay. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on not a traffic report.
No traffic report.
Just a plain old regular ordinary break. But if you want to get in and speak with Jim Bohannon, a delightful man with a great command of the language and a very quick comeback many times, so your quips are wonderful.
You're too kind.
And you don't have the rest of the country trying to get on at the same time.
No
it's just
kidding.
Charleston. He's that's right here in the Lowcountry, and he would love to talk to you.
Would love to hear.
And the ever immodest program director of WTMA pointing out, we brought it here for you. So, Charlie Thompson, standing in for Dan Moon for News Talk 1250 WTMA.
There's more of our morning broadcast from December 2002 in just moments on the history of TMA. I'm John Quincy.
News Talk 1250 WTMA.
Here's more of the history of TMA with John Quincy.
Now, back in the mighty TMA time machine as we return to December 30th, 2002. With Charlie Thompson and Westwood One's Jim Bohannon.
Well, good morning, Low Country. Ah, yes.
Hey,
we're having so much fun here with Jim Bohannon in the off hours.
We now join the intermission already in progress.
It's a good thing she didn't turn that microphone on about 5 seconds earlier.
Sure. Yes,
oh,
we were.
My goodness. We'd have been in so much trouble.
I was big time in here.
I was threatened to tell someone's mama. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can tell from the hilarity and the jovialness that this is a definitely different day for WTMA. I mean, Dan Moon always has a good time, but we have Jim Bohannon, who has put some real zingers in there. I've enjoyed immensely listening
well,
to those.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I did email, by the way, Dan and apologize for not having a chance to see him this go-around. But since the Renaissance weekend seemed to have moved here, at least their New Year's version,
right.
Pretty much, I guess, to Charleston permanently, as far as I know. So I'll be coming back.
And that's why you're in town, right?
That is why I'm here. And I expect to see you guys in the not-too-distant future.
Marvelous. Cool. Yeah. And catching up for everyone who's listening, if you've just come on board with us, this is WTMA. This is Charlie Thompson, normally your Saturday 12 to 2 host, sitting in for Dan Moon.
Abnormally here.
Abnormally here. Yes. And as Jim Bohannon in his email to me said, we're going to have a radioactive time. I'm your friendly neighborhood nuclear physicist. And Jim Bohannon, the star, the man, the legend here on WTMA. You can hear him. Let's see. John Quincy, should I go ahead and let you? John Quincy, program director. Tell them what plans are for Mr. Bohannon's show and possibly some more, I hear.
We're going to work on trying to get more Jim Bohannon on, but he's on between 10 and 1 every weeknight. Mm-hmm. Plus, we run him a little bit on Saturday morning. But if you'd like to give Jim a call, now would be a good time to do so. 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250, or star 1250 on your wireless phone. We would love to hear from you and get a chance to maybe you could tell Jim what cool things to do in Charleston. I mean, you've done the market.
And my wife and I are going to check out a few of the things in downtown Charleston. I think we're going to return to a lot of the Renaissance activities maybe in the afternoon. But once I'm done here at 10, we might take a couple of hours. And
all right, what would you recommend? The premier Charleston experience.
Okay.
Rent a car.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Get on Mount Pleasant side of the Cooper River and come up that itty bitty 2-lane bridge, which now is both in the same direction. And imagine a truck coming at you in the other lane.
Hey, did they charge for this ride?
In fact, that might be something if...
Six Caskets over South Carolina?
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
My first experience of a bridge was going over the Cooper River Bridge. You know, my first experience driving was going over the Cooper River Bridge with my hands steeled, glued, making indentations in that plastic steering wheel as a huge 18-wheeler came the other way. I mean,
sounds like a theme park to me, Charlie.
you talk about excitement, you're going to get it. Well, one thing, Jim, that I've had as my basic premise on why liberal talk show hosts don't make it. You know, even you are a self-professed moderate. You're not a flaming liberal or flaming conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But I've told people, I think a lot of the reason why talk radio tends to be conservative is its very nature requires that the host listen to the callers, the host interact with the callers, and I feel that American liberalism, for lack of a better term, is a, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, and you're just going to shut up and listen.
The edict from on high, from Mount Olympus, that we know what's best. There may be some of that. I don't have a better explanation than that, Charlie. You look at some of the people who have tried it, and it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, we had Dershowitz.
Very articulate, intelligent people, Mario Cuomo, Jim Hightower, Michael Jackson, not the singer, but the talk show host. People of that ilk have tried this, and it hasn't worked. So your explanation's as good as any. I don't know why, but I'll buy what you said.
Yeah, just I noticed myself when I listened to the few times when someone tries. We had Alan Dershowitz here who had a show for a short while.
Exactly, yeah.
Right? And I listened to him, and I said, this is a man who isn't hearing his callers. In fact, I had a philosophy professor once at the college I went to, a place called Wofford up here in the Upstate, has a decent reputation. And the instructor smiles at us, and he says, the greatest failing for most people is when they're in an argument, they're using the time when the other person is speaking to think about what they're going to say next. He says, if you'll stop thinking about what you're going to say next and listen to what they're saying, their foot ends up in front of their mouth so many times you can jam that sucker home at least once in the argument.
That's nice. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. No, you're absolutely right. I'll tell you a quick Larry King story.
Good.
He was on some program someplace being interviewed, and it was obvious to him that the interviewer was in the same boat you just described, thinking of the next question, not paying attention. So I guess the question was something along the lines of, so what's the most interesting part of doing your show? And Larry decided he would have a little fun. He said, giving out the secret signals to the secret agents around the world. He said, yeah, you know, every night I say these key words like back after these messages. That means activate plan X27 or whatever. And her follow-up was, how did you get into radio?
Well, the CIA and NSA. And
Jim, how would you describe your show for people who haven't listened? You can listen to Neil Bortz or Michael Savage or Sean Hannity and pretty much describe them a certain way. But when people listen to the Jim Bohannon Show, what should they expect?
Well, it's a potpourri. Well, actually, we're trying to afford a rich potpourri, or at least a middle class potpourri. Right. But for the moment, it's a potpourri. It's a variety of things. Just look at some of the people we got coming on here in the month of January. We got astronaut Scott Carpenter on the 14th. We've got David Frum on the 13th, his book, The Right Man, The Surprise Presidency of George W. Bush. On the 8th, George Foreman will be on at 10 p.m. to talk about his career in and out of the ring. It's a variety of stuff. We do politicians. We're going to have Howard Dean, the first declared Democratic presidential candidate. We'll do sports figures, entertainment figures. We'll do serious topics, fun topics, you name it. And you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. So be surprised.
But it's always interesting. Always fun to listen to.
I think so.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can get in and talk to Jimbo at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250. When we get back, I'd like to ask you to give me the name of that book that you wrote just so I can get in there and check it out. Might even ask for an autograph. This is Charlie Thompson sitting in for Dan Moon here at News Talk 1250 WTMA.
We'll have more of our 2002 broadcast with Jim Bohannon and Charlie Thompson straight ahead on the History of TMA.
TMA.
It was December 30th, 2002. If you were listening to the WTMA morning show that day, you didn't hear Dan Moon. He was on vacation. But fill-in host Charlie Thompson, along with special guest, national talk show host Jim Bohannon.
We have Jim Bohannon here with us.
And you haven't overslept.
And I haven't
overslept. It's not 10 o'clock at night.
It's not 10 o'clock at night.
It's not 12 midnight. He's actually here live.
I'm here live.
And that second voice is John Quincy, program director of WTMA, here to make sure that I, Charlie Thompson, do not make any huge guffaws.
And so, I'm the guy that you can blame for Charlie Thompson.
There you go. Yeah. So
nice wheels on your tonsils there, Charlie.
Right. If you don't like the Charlie Thompson show, tell John Quincy. And if you like me, tell him twice.
Yeah. Well, you're actually on regularly or irregularly on Saturdays, is it?
Saturdays, 12 to 2, The Wonderful World of Charlie Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah. So named because I look at things a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. My theme song is Mannheim Steamrollers Going to Another Place.
Oh, I love Mannheim Steamroller. We've had Chip Davis on a number of times. Gotcha. Fascinating fella.
Oh, they're wonderful. Well, one thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for a read of Jim Bohannon, he's written a book called America in Crisis. And give us a quick, you know, what does one do on that? I just love this. I'm taking the guy who interviews book authors and I'm asking him the question.
Well, it's published by Paper Chase Press. It's a look at a few of the issues of the day and my take on them in a broader vein than most things you might think about. For example, civility was my very first chapter. It seems to me that we have lost our national civility, that we, when in doubt, snarl or growl at people. We're rude when there's no point whatsoever to being rude. So just a few things of that
I forget, but one lady once made the comment, and it's probably a quote somewhere in the quote book, she said that civility is the lubricant of society.
It is the lubricant, exactly. And if you take away a lubricant, of course, a smooth-running engine suddenly overheats and can break down. And that's a wonderful way to put it. Right. Civility is the lubricant of society. Yes.
And I even saw where our litigious society is getting into it, because when I was at a fencing meet, you know, one of these national championships, and admittedly, the guy was cranked up, but the fencer was the one that stepped over and bumped into someone else, but the person he bumped into in a civil way says, "Oh, I'm sorry." And this fencer, in a very vicious, I mean, straight out of the mean-spirited New Yorker, looks at the guy and says, "Well, if you did it, why, you know," in other words, in essence, the fact that you apologized in a civil way, saying, "Gee, I'm sorry this happened," he says, "Aha, you apologized, therefore you're at fault." And it's like, hello.
What? I mean, really, come on, that's a very negative way to look at it.
Yeah.
The fencers, I'm told, by the way, are going on strike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to form a picket fencer line.
You would not believe how many bad jokes that we hear about that regularly.
So I take it, all this fencing activity you discuss, that you, in fact, do engage in that?
I'm not as much now, but at one time, catch this, Jim,
yes?
Short, overweight Charlie Thompson at one time was thinner and faster, and I actually, for one brief moment, was 20th in the nation in Sabre.
Really?
And they promptly drug tested me.
Curse was foiled again. They drug tested you, huh?
And to give you an idea how
things... Did you ever do the epee?
No. Yes, I have. In fact, at one time, I was ranked in all three weapons, and the only reason it happened was because there was a meet where they needed two more guys to fill out the numbers so that the meet would get enough bodies. They had enough ranked fencers, but they needed enough bodies to where that it would be an official meet. And so they talked two saber fencers into doing it. I took first, the other guy took second, and I got ranked in epee.
That's very funny.
In fact, I one time officiated at the World Pentathlon Championships, and it was so funny. You know, people talk about this thing at Utah where there was the cheating by the French judge, and it's like, oh, get a life, guys. And so one of the Russian fencers was having a terrible time with his weapon, and the rules are you can't adjust it. Well, the official made a call, and the Russian coach, who knows his guy, wants to fix his weapon, comes out screaming unintelligibly in Russian. And the language that you had to use officially was either French or English. And so
he couldn't curse in either language. Well,
here's the interesting thing. He brings out this lady that looks like the typical Russian woman tugboat captain.
Oh, yes.
She'd been knitting on the sides.
Yeah, knitting with steel wool.
Right. Yeah. And so he in Russian real fast says something to her. And then she in very broken English says, "He is saying that the long iron thing is attached to whatever," and so on.
Uh-huh.
And the whole time the Russian is just working on that weapon, getting it the way he wants. And he nods at his coach. He's happy. And then the coach, who up till now has not said a word of English, grabs the hand of the official, shakes his hand, and says, "I am so very glad you did an absolutely wonderful job. I am so sorry. I cannot believe I actually disagreed with you." I'll tell you what, we have a call on line one, and it's Ann. Hello, Ann. How you doing?
Hello, Ann.
Yes. Jim, welcome to Charleston.
Thank you. What a delightful city you have.
Well, thank you very much. You might enjoy looking at the Gibbs Art Gallery and the Charleston Museum.
Well, okay. Now, are those in the downtown area?
Yes, they are.
Well, then I'll ask for those. Now, what was the names of them again?
The Gibbs Art Gallery
and the Charleston Museum.
Yes.
And we will ask for those.
And I do want to thank you. Years ago, when you were on here earlier, you had a classical music lead-in, I think. Piece of beautiful music.
We've had various themes over the years. Right now, I have a variety of themes that we use, kind of a rotating theme. But I don't know that we ever had anything that was purely classical.
Maybe it was
I think you probably are thinking of a movie theme from the movie Uncle Joe Shannon. It was performed by Maynard Ferguson, had a big trumpet part.
No, it wasn't it.
Wasn't
my late husband enjoyed it so much.
It could have been the refrain from smoking.
That he wrote. He called and asked, he wrote Master for the piece where you quiet it. And yes, you kindly wrote him back and sent him the information, and he was so pleased.
Well, your memory is better than mine.
I'll tell you what, Ann, one thing, I've told Jim two things. First of all, does the Gibbs still have that lovely statue of the Veiled Lady done in stone? I don't know how that artist pulled that off. Or have you been there recently?
I guess it does. You know, we don't...
A veiled lady. They actually create a veil with
a veil
stone
effect. It's like you can see through a veil at her, and yet it's in stone. And I mean, just I have no idea.
Is it very thin stone? Or
No, it's a full bust. It was amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll check that out.
One other thing, Ann. Do you know how we can get Jim into one of the downtown houses? You know, like they have the candlelight tour to raise money sometimes. Is there anyone that he could contact to maybe see if we could slip our celebrity in to see some of those beautiful houses?
Ooh, Historic Charleston, would be more than delighted.
We will contact Historic Charleston.
My neighbor, Ms. Robinson, is in charge of it, and she'd be thrilled.
Well, if you will, tell her to give us a holler here at WTMA.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure what our schedule allows, but if we possibly can, I would love to do that, because this place is such a wealth of history.
Well, it is. It has a little bit of everything for everyone.
It surely does.
From architecture to history, and you can delve into so many areas.
You're such a lovely lady, Ann, that I hate to do this, but you know radio tells us.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care, man. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Ann. Mm-hmm. Call me at night sometime. We'll
I
put
will.
You on.
All right. All right. Good.
Thank you. Oh, don't tell any more about Charleston on your show.
What, about how wonderful it is?
No.
I was planning to go on the air and say, hey, Charleston's place.
We want to keep that a secret.
Everybody ought to move to Charleston.
There you go.
Well, I am into another Atlanta.
No.
There you go.
We're already here. We like it. We know about it. We don't want to tell anybody else.
The word.
All right. Well, we have Joyce here who has a question also for you. Jim, hello, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Oh, Hannon.
We thoroughly enjoy your show.
Thank you. That's Jimbo Hannon.
Jimbo Hannon.
Yes.
And what I wanted to ask you was, I'm perplexed at the popularity still of the Clintons. And I would like to know if you have a take on that.
Well, I must confess that I have been rather immune to the charms of the Clintons, although I'll tell you, I've met them both, I have seen them up close, and I'll have to admit that nobody can work a room like Bill. Hillary's getting better, but he is a champion. I mean, he fixes you with that gaze, and he can convince you that you, for that 15 seconds, are the most important person on the planet. He is a very effective one-on-one campaigner, and any time he shakes your hand, he is essentially campaigning. Personally, as I say, I've never been one of the deepest of Clinton haters, although I rode his tail pretty hard during the impeachment thing, because it was just a travesty the way he behaved. But I've seen it, and I can understand it. This guy really does know how to work a room and to talk to a person.
Well, what about her?
I think she's gotten a lot better. In the past, I think you would have called her charming. I think that her experience running for the Senate improved her considerably as a campaigner. But I didn't see her as much as I've seen him. I've met them both. I have a picture of me with the two of them during the White House Christmas party.
Don't you think that the American people can see through these people? I mean,
well, obviously not, judging by that poll we cited. You must understand that there are a lot of people out there that thinks the sun rises and sets on these two, and this poll did not surprise me that much that Hillary Clinton is the most admired woman in America. I mean, you've got to understand that a lot of people think they are wonderful.
Especially the people in New York. They must love them.
Oh, well, apparently, yeah. Although I think if Rudy Giuliani had run, I think he would have beaten her.
Right. If I can interject something here, if you don't mind, Joyce. One thing, Jim, is it possible that Hillary's popularity says more for the fact that there aren't strong women out there for other people to notice, and so she's getting it more because there's just a lack of women getting the press or the information?
I think you've said it correctly, Charlie. It's not a lack of strong women. It's a lack of strong women being recognized as such. I mean, there are any number of women in positions of authority. Senator Cohen of Maine, for example. Mm-hmm. Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas, just to name two. A number of governors and other people in high positions who don't get the publicity, but they're out there. Absolutely.
Do you think we'll see another Clinton era?
You mean as in a President Hillary?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think so. I don't think she could win the Democratic nomination. If she did, She would lose, I think, in near record proportions. I think that
another Dukakis,
worse than Dukakis.
Who what about vice president?
Competitive. Maybe, certainly. I think that we've had, of course, one woman run on a major party ticket, Geraldine Ferraro. Maybe for vice president, but I'm not sure at this stage of the game. You're a Democrat, let's say. It's 2004. You're running against a popular president in George W. Bush.
Absolutely.
Do you want the Clinton baggage? You know, I mean, there are any number of women. If you think a woman's going to help the ticket, I don't think Hillary's the one you're going to pick.
Good.
I just don't think so.
Well, quite frankly, if I were the Democratic president with Hillary as my vice president, I'd want a food taster.
Yes. Thank you so much, and it's very nice talking to you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Joyce.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, like Joyce, you can get in here at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250. And
we'll be raffling off my home number a bit later in the hour. Later.
And as our program.
What room are you staying in?
Any time of the day or night.
Yeah. There you go. Ooh, reminds me of a conversation we just had with an account agent here. Yeah, and our program director is here, John Quincy, keeping an eye on me. And also trying to help make sure that we let Mr. Bohannon know that we're very appreciative of you, sir, coming over here.
Well, I'm honored to be here. I mean, let's face it, without my affiliates across the country, I'd just be the world's largest intercom.
There you go.
I mean, we're like really networked to like wholesalers, and this is one of our fine retail outlets. And I might point out something, by the way, and this is in all honesty. I travel the country a lot. I hear a lot of my affiliates, and you can get used to things, Charleston, and you may take WTMA for granted, but you've got a fine community-serving radio station here. And if you ever travel much and listen to what you may hear in other cities, you will come back, I think, appreciating News Talk 1250 more than you did before.
Well, the $12.50 check will be in the mail, Jim.
Bless you, Frank Johnson.
Yeah, one thing that, of course, being a physicist that gets me going, and since you do interview so many people in diverse topics, you know, we have the Savannah River plant up here, and mainly because they're not opening up Yucca Mountain in Nevada, I put it to the fact that there are two senators and one congressman have beaten the living daylights out of our six congressmen and one and a half senators, maybe something fierce. And what are you hearing out there? Because as a physicist, I know that it's extremely dangerous to put the stuff here in South Carolina. It's on a major river next to the Gulf Stream. Anything goes wrong, we're toast.
Well, honestly, as I mentioned to you earlier, I think South Carolina, the state that glows in the dark, beats the Palmetto State as a slogan. I really do. So look, you have to put it someplace. A populated area like this is not the place. I'm sorry, but a Nevada is the place. We have enough vast, empty spaces that are not on earthquake faults, and that's where it should go.
That's where it should go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, being radio, we have to rush right in here. Jim Bohannon posing for a picture real quick.
There you go.
This is Charlie Thompson sitting in for Dan Moon with Program Director John Quincy and Jim Bohannon, the man the hour. And we now have to go real quick, remembering it's News Talk 1250 WTMA.
We'll have one more segment of our replay of our AM Drive broadcast from December of 2002 in just a few moments as the history of TMA continues.
Something special to be Charleston, that's what you are to me. You put my life into like the sun and the moon. You make me complete. Charleston, love your sights and sounds. You are my town. You're so good for me. Charleston, you're someplace special. WTMA.
The history of TMA. Let's get back to our rebroadcast of the WTMA Morning Show of December 30th, 2002, with Charlie Thompson, yours truly, John Quincy, and Westwood One's Jim Bohannon.
Well, good morning, Low Country, and as usual, you can reach us at 556-1250, 1-800-737-1250. Jim Bohannon sitting in here with us, along with Program Director John Quincy, and that means Rocky D, that if you don't behave yourself, you're in deep trouble. Madeline, Rocky D.
The Rocky D.
The Rocky D. And Madeline, I cannot get Rocky up. What's going on here? There we go. Hello, Rocky. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing, Charlie?
Doing fair. Now,
hey,
remember.
Rocky. Hey, Rocky.
Well, welcome to Chicago.
Oh, thank you. Is that what this is?
Yeah. How do you like Charleston so far?
Oh, I love it. I'm having a great time here, and we're going to be doing a little more exploring of your beautiful city in the next few hours.
Well, what happens here, I want to tell you, Bo, is what happens is, first of all, you belong in the South because your name is Bo.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Right. If you grow up in the Ozarks and your name is Jim Bohannon, you will go by Jimbo, I guarantee.
Is that it? Well, what happens here is that if you stay here long enough, you end up getting what they call the Charleston effect. Mm-hmm. What happens is your clothes shrink and your skin swells a little bit. See,
I've heard about that
because of all the restaurants here. I mean, you know, we have some fantastic restaurants.
We're
here.
Going to Sticky Fingers this evening.
Well, that's just one.
Yeah,
one.
All right, just one restaurant. You head down to. I know you've been to Sunfire Grill. Or you will be.
I will be going, I'm sure. I have not been there yet.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of things going on out here. I mean, you're never bored in Charleston, and welcome to the town. Major League Baseball, have you heard about this, Bo?
Well, no, I didn't know you had Major League Baseball.
We have Minor League Baseball here. We may get it because Major League Baseball is thinking about launching their own TV channel, their own pay-for-cable channel. They're so upset that nobody's watching the game anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're thinking about bringing their own... launching their own cable channel, and they never have to pay to see baseball. They're going to find out real quick nobody's going to watch it.
I don't know. If they put Pete Rose on throwing dice, probably that'll get him.
Sure. Yeah. You can put Pete Rose on there and call it You Bet Your Life.
Well, maybe you can get a team relocated here, the Expos or something. You know, I understand, for example, New Orleans is getting rid of the Saints. They're going to move them to the Philippines, call them the Manila Folders.
Why not? Yeah. Also, I don't know where do you base your show out of, Jim? When you're on
Washington D.C. We're at 2020 yeah. M Street.
Did you hear about that $95 million makeover of Gettysburg around the corner from you, up the road from you?
Oh, I've been to Gettysburg many times, and I knew that they had made some changes up there. They took down that tower that you could see the whole battlefield from.
Right. They're now going to try to erase any of what they call Southern bias and put up monuments to slavery along the Gettysburg battlefield and other Civil War sites, too. So wait for the fight on that one. Like, able to do that anywhere in South Carolina.
You know, the trouble with that battlefield is that today Pickett's Charge goes right across a state highway. You know, so, I mean, they'd had to stop and waited for traffic, and, you know, it would have been really, really messy.
That's true. They could have took a car to bus because nobody ever rides them. Put the whole army on there. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, we're talking about that at 3 o'clock and some other things, too. And I talked to Glenn McConnell over the weekend. I was in his place on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he told me why the funding for the Hundley is in the shape it's in right now. We'll talk about that at 3, too. So have a good time when you're in town, Bo, and let me know if you want to tip a few.
Hey, that sounds like a great idea. I do appreciate that very much, Rocky. And anytime you're in Washington, give me a call.
Okay.
All right, sir. That's good. What time, pray tell, could people hear Rocky this afternoon?
That would be 3 to 6.
Three to six would be the time.
Could be the time, yes.
That would be the time. Right here on News Talk 1250, as a matter of fact.
The clever way, the very adept local host managed to get his program plugged by the ever irrepressible Jim Bohannon.
He likes show business.
We have Alejandro over here. What a name. And
Alejandro.
Yeah, talk to us. You wanted to talk to him about how he feels about Bill O'Reilly.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Bill O'Reilly. I just want to know your intake about Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a story. It was November of a year ago that I was vacationing in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
And there was a wedding that was being held there. And other people in the wedding party said, hey, guess who's at the swimming pool? Guess who's at the swimming pool? And I said, who? And they said, it's Bill O'Reilly. Well, I had been on his TV show. He'd been on my radio show. So I called him. I said, I left a message at his room, said, let's have a drink. So he called back and said, yeah. So we're standing there. O'Reilly, a case by the way, you can't tell it on TV. O'Reilly is about 6'6".
Wow.
Yeah. Big guy, giant guy.
Power forward.
And I figure he's going to say, hey, how's it going? See you around. He starts grilling me about talk radio, really serious questions. So it was a year ago this past November that I knew he was interested in doing a radio show. And fortunately, he came to Westwood One. So I enjoy his show. I enjoy his take. I like to watch him on TV. And I definitely listen to his radio show.
Okay, thank you.
And you can do that, Jim, between 1 and 3 this afternoon.
Right here.
Right here. On News Talk 1250 WTMA.
I believe that would be.
Yeah, and Alejandro's gift will be waiting for him at the front. Man, we're getting some great help here. Well, Jim, I cannot believe, on one hand, it's been a good 2 hours. On the other hand, I cannot believe how quickly it's gone by. Welcome to Charleston, Jim.
Well, thank you, Charlie. What an honor to be here and a privilege to see this wonderful city. And again, I'm honored to be a part of News Talk 1250 WTMA.
And every weeknight between 10 and 1.
10 and 1. Right. And if you want to read some of Mr. Bohannon's thoughts, he has a book called America in Crisis. And gee, the author is Jim Bohannon.
Amazing. It's a funny thing.
Funny thing
it's
that
amazing,
way.
Amazing.
Yeah. You've got a website too, right?
I do, yeah. JimboTalk.com.
JimboTalk.com. Yes, and we have one too, WTMA.com. And I'll bet you something that a few pictures may be showing up in the near future.
It could happen.
There.
Yes, we do have photographic proof.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you hear the music coming up. Jim, being a radio professional, knows exactly what I have to do here. This is WTMA.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thank you very, very much, John. Thank you, Charlie.
Right. And so, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, until the next time I'm here, which actually will be the day after New Year's, if I remember correctly.
You'll be here tomorrow.
Be here tomorrow. Oh, that's right. New Year's Eve. Oh, my goodness. Well, gee, there I walked in the beam one more time. Well, the black helicopters will be here for me momentarily. Jim, once again, welcome to Charleston.
Hey, thanks, Charlie.
All right. Charlie Thompson here for News Talk 1250 WTMA.
We hope you've enjoyed this hour of the history of TMA. Would you like to download more past 1250 WTMA broadcast? Surf to WTMAmemories.com for rare station recordings, photos, stories, and more. That's WTMAmemories.com. And keep it here on the station that continues to make history, as well as talk about it while it's being made. 1250 WTMA.